hope you will come back and see us again. I've met a few that are from out of town and a few that are from in town, and hope to meet all the rest of you here in a little bit. But thank you for being part of our service this morning. In the bottom drawer of my desk, I have a file folder that's literally, I have titled Sermons I Don't Like. And it's thicker than I want it to be. Occasionally I'll write a sermon and I'll keep looking at it and thinking this just didn't work. And so I figure I put a lot of work into it. I don't want to throw it away, so I stick it in that folder. When we decided to preach through Ecclesiastes and tell Solomon's story, this was one of the sermons I wrote that then went in that folder. And every night I wake up about 2 o'clock, and I'm a perfect alarm clock, and from about 2 to 2:30, my mind is as sharp as it is any other time in the day. Maybe that's because it's quiet. Maybe that's because I've had a little rest and the brain is clicking. And I keep working through this sermon saying, I really think I need to preach this sermon. And I'd come to the office the next day and I'd pull it out of the folder and say, no, this is, and I'd stick it back in. And so I'm pulling the Band-Aid off and I want to share some thoughts on getting old with you. About a third of this room has been here long enough to remember when I was, I don't know if it was lovingly or obnoxiously called the boy preacher. Who remembers me being called the boy preacher? Okay, I didn't take it as a compliment. I took it as, shush, you old guy. But I was the boy preacher. If you've been here that whole time, you have watched the boy preacher turn into the middle-aged man. And the truth is age is going to get all of us. I get introduced a lot as Nikki's husband, and part of Nikki's job gets me out to places that I need to be, but introduces me to people I often don't know. And I'm dying for her one day to introduce me as her silver fox. Hint, hint. And that's yet to happen either. Getting old is just going to be part of life. And with it comes increased challenges. Some of you are there. Okay, one of the things I love about this church, and I love so many things about this church, but we are the oddest church that I know in that we have a big, big chunk of our group that is over the age of 70, and we have a big, big chunk of our group that is under the age of 35. And we don't necessarily have a whole lot in the middle of that. And so that kind of presents interesting dynamics to leadership and interesting dynamics to how I preach and what I preach on and things like that. And so rarely do we talk about getting older. But I think in not talking about this, maybe I have not preached on a couple of things I think we need to hear. Because we're all going to be there. Even if you're the 30-year-old sitting in the pew, someday you're going to be the guy in your middle 50s. And if you're the middle 50 guy, someday you're going to be the one in your 70s. And if you're the one in your 70s, someday, hopefully, if God lets you live that long, you may be the one that we say is 102. Because that's part of life. And yet, I think it's something we need to explore and not only see the increased challenges, and there are many, but to see the huge benefits that come to those who age wisely. And so I hope we can talk about that just a little bit this morning. A passage we're going to talk about next week is going to be from Ecclesiastes 11. That's going to be a word to the young. We're going to celebrate our seniors, but we're also going to call our young people to do some important things too. But there's this line in chapter 11 that I think is important for us to start with. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. And everything to come is meaningless or is vanity. Now, that's kind of one of those sad verses, and we've seen a lot of sad verses through the book of Ecclesiastes, but that's one of those lines where Solomon is talking to younger people, at least in that passage, and he's saying, however many years you might have, enjoy them. And you're going to hear me say that. You've heard me say that as we have made this study. But then he's also going to throw in that line, but remember that there will be many dark days. Okay, my guess is if you are older than 20 or 30, you've probably had some dark days. And certainly, if you are at the age of 60 or 70, you've had some dark days. You've had some days when you were sitting in doctor's offices. You've had some days where they were prepping you for surgery. You've had days where you were maybe burying the one you had spent your whole life with. You've had those days where you get out of bed and hands aren't working right and knees aren't working right and hips aren't working right. And you think, what can I do to serve the Lord? And it's just a dark day. The truth is if we go back to Genesis 3 in the fall, our bodies take a hit. I kind of get the sense in reading Genesis 1 and 2, especially 2, that the age of Adam and Eve in the garden at the beginning is the age of Adam and Eve at the end of the story of the garden. And one of the things that happens with the fall is age doesn't matter the same. And so Adam and Eve come out of the garden, and with that, Adam's going to have to work and toil the ground, and Eve gets that whole childbirth thing. And sorry, ladies, that Eve had the fruit first. And it goes through all of that stuff, and we start to see them just get older. And it's just a part of life. And what Solomon does is he takes what I think is a pretty honest look at aging. So just hear him for a second. And notice the images. See, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you say, I find no pleasure in them. Now he's going to start describing some things here. Before the sun and light and moon and stars grow dark. Okay, I'm guessing that means before you die. And the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. So let's say you've got a hunched over old man who's lost all of his teeth and needs glasses, right? When the doors of the streets are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, every one of you people over 70 get up at the crack of dawn, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him. Before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and dust returns to the ground that it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And the teacher says, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Okay, that's not the funnest passage, is it? Can some of you relate? I mean, Robert kind of stole a little bit of my thunder. He's got a titanium hip. I forget what you said, Robert. Gold teeth, titanium hip, silver hair, all that stuff. The truth is that's what's going to happen to us. The truth is that if we live long enough on this earth, our bodies are going to start looking like those images. I'm not as tall as I used to be. I can't jump as high as I used to jump. I can't see as well as I used to see. I can't hear as well as I used to hear. The body is not what it used to be, and I get a little scared and a little jittery when stuff goes on around me. And that passage, while scary, seems a little bit accurate as we age. And so what do we do with it? See, I want to age wisely. I'm not against aging. I think aging is good, and it ought to be something we praise God for, that he lets us live long enough so that we can get old. But are we going to age wisely, or are we going to age foolishly? So let's look at it from the negative side. Here's the things I think we're going to do if we decide to age foolishly. First, we're going to wait until later to get happy. If you think the only time you're going to be happy is when you finally retire, then I think you've got a problem. Okay, one of the things Solomon has said over and over in this book is enjoy life and eat, drink, and be merry. And I think we got to be careful how we interpret that line. But I think he's saying you look at what God has done and you look at what God has set before you and you live the life that he's placed you in. And part of living that life is finding joy in it. Let's be honest, if you are in the most intensive time of your work-related jobs, it's hard to find some joy. And if you're in those moments when you're trying to raise teenagers, it's hard to find a little joy. And if you're in the middle of trying to balance three or four. Some of you guys have way too many children. Trying to balance all of those children on your knees and get them to church and get them to school and teach them math and writing and teach them how to be respectful and all of that stuff, it's hard. And there can be the tendency to get in the midst of that and think, someday this is going to be gone. Someday the kids are going to finally be in school and it'll be quiet in the house in the mornings. And someday the kids are going to quit being elementary students and I'll have to quit baking cookies for the PTA and they'll get to high school. And then when they get to high school, someday they'll get to college. And someday when they're finally done with college, think about how great my life will be. And then they'll get married and have children and keep bringing them over all the time. Find your joy now. And I don't care if you're 20 years old, if you're 50 years old, if you're 75, or if you're 100. Live the life God has put you in. Whatever it is and wherever you are, realize that happiness is a result of the choices you make, not necessarily the consequences that surround you. Some of the happiest people I know are old men who can barely get around. Our old men who in the morning, it's like they need a couple Advil just to get out of bed to get the body going. And by the time they get their body going, then they walk the dog and then they do what they need to do. But they're joyous and they don't focus on the consequences. They focus on what God has done. Going back to that verse in chapter 11, again, Solomon wrote, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. Okay, I had great moments before Jonah was born. Lots of great moments before Jonah was born. I had a whole bunch of great moments when Jonah's a little baby. I had some decent moments when Jonah was in elementary school. I had fewer when Jonah was in junior high because we all know junior high boys. And I've had a lot of joyous moments now that he's gone and all I have to do is fund a payroll every now and then. But joyously celebrate what God has placed you in. And whatever is going on in your life, realize that we can't wait to get happy. Okay, the second thing is don't base your identity solely on your physical body. Okay, just go watch the ads on TV and watch all of the 50-something actresses that look like they're 30-something actresses. Now, what would be nice is if we could interview the doctors of the 50-year-old actresses, we might see a pretty long dossier of what they have been through. Don't base your identity on your body. Our culture wants to convince us that we're nothing but bodies, and we better make sure we take care of that. Don't hear me say, don't take care of your body. But they want to say, you base your identity in how young you look and how pretty you look and how handsome you look and how much hair you have and all that stuff that is going on. But the Bible is going to say over and over, you are so much more than just a body. I love this line from Solomon. He's going to say in Proverbs 16, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. So every time someone talks about my gray hair, I'm going to start quoting this verse. Hey, this is a crown of splendor, and it was attained because I'm walking with the Lord. Now, I think Solomon's probably got a little more to say on that than just that. But don't base your body in this, because this is going to fail. Paul's going to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we live in a tent that is perishable. That we live in a tent that one day is going to be replaced with something that is imperishable. One day, you're going to get the body that you've always yearned for, and it's not going to be living here. So now, let's just make the best of it, and let's realize that our identity is more than just how good I look. It's more than how young I can look. It's more than, can I be stylish? Can I act 20 years younger? Can 50 be the new 40? Instead, can I be God's? And can the inside of this body, no matter how old it might be, can it look like the Savior that I serve? And can I act and live and serve like someone who's been redeemed? The third thing, think we can age foolishly when we fail to prepare for life after retirement. Okay, I'm nearing that time where you start thinking about retirement. And I've got stuff outlined in my head. I have the place I want to live. I have the SUV that I want to be able to get into. I have the everything in a sense lined up. And I'm maybe thinking about the wrong retirement. That I may be focused in on what am I going to do in 10 years? What am I going to do when we hit 65 and I can get Social Security if it's even still around? When I can say I no longer have to be on somebody's payroll, I can do as I please, I'm thinking about the wrong retirement. Again, chapter 12, verse 7 said this. It said, "And the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." See, ultimately, my retirement is not when I turn 65 and get Social Security. My retirement is when I quit breathing. And I think we need to hear that more than we do. One of the things that bothers me the most is so often I hear, and I need a better answer to give to it, and that's part of why I wanted to preach this sermon, is I hear this, "I'm too old too," and then they start filling in the blanks. And maybe some of you might be too old to go down and cut a tree down. That's okay. But you're never too old to serve the Lord. And maybe you can't get to where you were going as fast as you might be able to get there, but we ought to be preparing for the next life as much as looking at this life. The story of Luke chapter 12, Jesus kind of echoes Solomon a little bit. Here's what he writes. "And I said to myself," so he's been telling a story about the guy who's had a pretty fruitful year, and so he's building more barns. "And I said to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." Okay, that sounds a little bit like, okay, here's the guy who's 65, who has funded his 501, or his 401, who's funded his retirement. I don't know which letters are the right letters right now. I'm having a brain freeze because I'm old. So funded the retirement, and you got everything set, and you think, "I could live to be 100 on what I'm going to have left in my savings." Don't sweat that, is what he's saying. "You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." And God said, "You fool." Okay, let's stop there for a second. Any time Jesus calls somebody a fool, maybe we ought to pay attention. "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Okay, I think it's important you prepare for retirement. I think it's important that you figure out what you're going to do after you quit your job and you have another 10, 15, 20 years to live on this earth. But I'd much rather you be concerned about what comes after this life. And so whether it's Solomon saying eternity is in focus, or whether it's Jesus saying you might have full barns, but what do those full barns matter when you're dead? I want you to realize that we better pay attention. And I hope we pay as much attention to the end of our life as we pay to the retirement of our jobs. And if I'm being honest, I don't always do that. And my guess is you don't always do that either. And my guess is if you're 25 or 35, or maybe you're even pushing 40 and you're kind of getting into the heart of your career where you're maybe making the most money you might ever make, it's going to be pretty easy to start focusing on how can I set this nest egg forward. Nest eggs are okay. I think God wants us to do that. But how are you going to set that final piece forward? And then the last thing, and I kind of dove into it a little bit and I didn't mean to, don't quit serving. When I tell stories about you, rarely do I actually give names, but I'm going to give a name today because she is no longer with us and I can get away with it, and when we get to heaven, she can scold me. One of the matriarchs of our church was a little lady named Irma Sperlin. And again, probably only a third of you will have known Irma Sperlin. Some of you might have known her from the community with her husband Ted, but Ted was an elder here for many years, and she was one of our matriarchs. And she worked harder than anybody I know when I first moved here. And she was early 70s. I remember one instance, we were just sitting at worship committee, and she looked across me at the table, and she was teary-eyed, and she said, I come in on a walker, and my hands are so crippled up, I can hardly write. And the fact that I used to love to sit in my seat and sing praises to God, and now my voice sounds like a radio out of tune. What can I do? What she didn't know is all the stuff that she was still doing. I mean, there she was as a 90-year-old at that point, sitting in a worship committee meeting, talking about how we could organize a worship service that would encourage us and uplift us, and how we could take different points to the sermon and maybe adjust them and magnify them or decrease some of them. And in her brain, she thought, I can't go 100 miles an hour like I did when I was 70. What good am I to the body anymore? Okay, my greatest fear is that someday I will say, what good am I to the body anymore? And I pray that someone will get right in my face and say, you are as good to this body now as you have ever been. Maybe you're not the guy to go climb up on the roof and fix things. Maybe you're not the one to help build a wall or lay carpet. Or maybe you're not the ones who can carry in boatloads of food to help the poor. But you can find a place to serve the Lord. And for those of my other fellow silver foxes, find your place. It doesn't bother me that you can't go help Ridge Perkins cut down a tree. Ridge can do that just fine. It doesn't bother me that you can't help Alan do some of the woodwork that's going on around our church. Alan can do that just fine. It doesn't bother me that you can't unload and take care of our pantry. We got guys that can do that right now. Find some place in this body to serve. And maybe it's prayer, and maybe it's card writing, and maybe it's encouraging, and maybe it's sitting with people at a coffee shop and having a cup of coffee, and maybe it's taking something we need to do a better job at, taking those who are young and loving them to pieces. Okay, so I want to tell one other story about one of our sweet older women. Miss Cates would ask me on the first of every month, who do I need to pray for? And I'd give her a list. And then the next first of the month would roll around, and she'd say, who do I need to pray for? And which of our teenagers hasn't been baptized yet? And so I'd scribble that down, and I'd give it to her. And the next month, who? And for every single month, from the time I got here until the time she moved to Oklahoma at I don't know, the age of probably late 80s, I'm guessing, every single first of the month, she wanted a list from me of people who needed to be prayed over. Now, not only did she pray over them every morning and every night, but there would often be cards, and there would be visits, and there would be phone calls, and there would be conversations, and there would be these moments where she did some great work within the kingdom. It didn't matter that she couldn't lift stuff anymore. It didn't matter that she walked slow. It didn't matter that her hair was silver and her teeth were fake. I don't know if her teeth were fake or not. I shouldn't have said that. She still wanted to serve the Lord. If you ever want to fire me up, just tell me I'm too old to do anything for the kingdom anymore. Because I'm going to quit being nice about it. I'm going to quit saying, you know, you're right, maybe we can find you something. I'm probably, at least I need to say, get over it. When we talk to the 20-year-olds next week, and the 30-year-olds next week, we're going to say some of the same stuff. But if you think you're too old to do any good in the kingdom, you are dead wrong. And one story to illustrate it. Luke chapter 1 tells the story of how Jesus is conceived and John the Baptist and all that stuff. And you get to Luke chapter 2, and there's going to be the story of Simeon and Anna. And it says that Anna is at the temple worshiping every day. And Anna is old. And in the days when Anna is alive, she is really old. If we were to kind of take how old Anna is in the story of Luke 2 and maybe take that to a world that we live in, she's on the Smucker's jar. You know what I mean? The Today Show when they do the geriatric guys, the 100-year-olds. That's how old she is. I mean, she is ancient for her day. And yet she will give one of the first blessings to the Son of God. Be like Anna. Be like Simeon, who in that same story has been working all of his life longing for the consolation of Israel. And let the last thing you do before the last breath you take be something that honors God. And if you don't know where you can find your place, talk to some of our people that have found it. I don't expect you to fix roofs and move things and walk up and down streets, but I think God expects something out of you. We mentioned 2 Corinthians 5, right before Paul talks about the tent in chapter 5, he gives this verse at the end of chapter 4. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Okay, what I want for you as much as anything is for you to be renewed day by day. For you to keep looking more and more like Jesus the older you get, serving Him in His place. There are many churches right now that are at a crossroads in the church. There have been numerous articles about the graying of the American church. And it has lots and lots of people concerned. Because most churches you walk into, all you see is gray. Thankfully, ours is not one of those. You see plenty of gray, but we got a lot of brown and a lot of blonde and one or two of you fake redheads. But you know what? The graying church can still change a world. They've just got to let God work through them. So my call is, whatever your age, let God work through you and with you to make a difference in our world. And may you be renewed day by day, even as this body breaks down. So Wynn's going to lead us in a song. If you need something, I'll be in the back, in the middle. Elders will be all around. I'll be at the front here for a couple of moments. If you need me, if you need them, find us. And if you need someone to help you figure out where to serve, call upon us. We can find some places, I guarantee it. So if you need us, let us know. Wynn?